all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth.
Provides. The God who provides. You know, it is his nature, it is his heart. And so often our trials and just the very everyday living in this life, this world, can so mar us from the love of God and the God who provides. But he's ever providing, even in those deep trials, those times of where you feel rejected, or you know, we go through so many things, his provision is still there, and he has a way of working and turning it together for good. We don't see it immediately, but in time, as we just stay in and hold on, you begin to always see the bigger picture, the bigger plan of Almighty God. And one of the things that I am so grateful about is as you stay with this walk, that you will always find the God who provides, it's not just for you. It's always bigger. It's always including other people or other families or neighbours, or whatever it would be. It's always a bigger picture with Almighty God in his provisions. Well, I want us to open up to something that I often talk about, and I want us to turn to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. And here we're going to open up with the story, we all know it very, very well, of Abraham, who has been given a son, the son of promise, and God is about to do something with both of them. We so often think that, you know, this was the testing for Abraham, and indeed it was. But as I'm going to share with you today, they were actually both being tested. Also Isaac as well. And as I said, the picture is always bigger. It wasn't just God dealing with Abraham, his faith. The picture is infinitely bigger here, as we're going to see as we open it up. I'm going to read this through first so that we can get into the understanding of the story. Abraham being called out many years back to walk by faith, leaves all his family, his land, his home. And God says, I'm going to show you a land of promise. I'm going to show you an eternal home. I'm going to show you what I have for you for the future. And we know also that God had promised Abraham a son, an heir, because obviously it's got to go on, carry on. If God's making covenant and promises with him, it can't just stop with Abraham. And we know the story, of course, where they get ahead of God and they're getting old, Sarah, his wife, and Abraham. And so Sarah says to Abraham, go with my maid and have a son with him. And so, of course, he does. He has a son, and his first son is Ishmael. And, of course, Ishmael being the eldest was the one who was really to inherit the blessings, to carry on the dynasty. But of course, God had already promised that he would give him a son. And of course, in time, later on, Abraham, Sarah, his wife, they're old. Abraham's now 100. Sarah's pretty old, around about 90. So they're past the age of bearing children. And lo and behold, Sarah has a child. And of course, the child is born, weaned, and so forth. And as the two boys, Ishmael, Isaac, grow up, they don't get on. There's problems, you see. And so the story goes that the angel says to Abraham, let them split, let them go. Let he and his mother, let them depart. And so they do. And Isaac continues to grow up with his father and mother and so forth. And God's blessing was on Ishmael, his mother. God hadn't forsaken them because he was of the seed of Abraham. But God's will was going to be accomplished. And Isaac is of the promise. Isaac is of the royal seed. You see, Satan always tries to attack the seed of the woman. We know that right back in Genesis because of Messiah coming forth and so on. And he still tries to attack the seed of faith. For we are of faithful Abraham. He is the father of faith to us, even though we are grafted into the vine. And so Satan's attacks differ not. They've always been the same. He's always trying to attack us from believing. You see? And it's no different. But we have a God who provides. And we'll take this up now in chapter 22. And it says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place of afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there, behold, him was a ram caught in the thicket by the thorns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In Mount Moriah of the Lord it shall be, he shall provide." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, saying, 'The Lord, because you have done this thing, you have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Amazing story, isn't it? An amazing story. And there is so much in there about the God and Father who provides. Well, let's break this down and we'll talk about this. Well, firstly, it says in verse 2, then he said, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering." Moriah in Hebrew means chosen by Yahweh. So the place was chosen by God. So God reveals immediately he is in control, he is on the scene, and God is doing this. He is chosen by God. And when you are chosen by God, you experience the God of provision who gives. So he immediately reveals he is sovereign, he is in control of all of this. And that is what Moriah means, chosen by God. The mount where Solomon also built his temple and where Jerusalem now stands today. Mount Moriah, the chosen place of God, and Jerusalem is the holy place, the holy mount, and that is why there will be a war of Armageddon in the last days, because Satan wants it. He wants to blind the world of that chosen place. And that is why Israel is the central place in the whole world. And I'm actually told that if you look on the map, on the globe, you can actually work out and see with all the countries, all the nations all around, it comes bang right in the very centre, the middle. That's what I was told. And that doesn't surprise me. So there we are. That is the place. And we know that from 2 Chronicles chapter 3, where God told Solomon to build that temple on Moriah, on the mount, which was an amazing temple that was built. We know that David wanted to build that for God, but God said, "I can't use you. You're a man of bloody hands. You're a man of war. But I will build it through your son." So there we see how God works. And then we take this on further. And so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, arose and went to the place of which God had told him. I get the impression there God is renewing Abraham's youth like the eagles. Look what he's doing here, huh? In his old age, way over 100. splitting wood, getting his donkeys, not calling on his servants because he could. He was a wealthy man. No, he's doing it. He's acting his faith. This is between him and God, what's taking place here. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. So the Spirit of God is leading Abraham all the way. And Abraham, verse 5, said to his young men, stay here with the donkey and lad, and I will go yonder and worship and will come back to you. So what is he doing there first? He leaves all of them behind and he goes to worship God. So God was building on Abraham's faith step by step. And he's going to start to teach him how faith and obedience go together. But he's a man of worship. And here we get the first insight in the Old Testament of worship. This is the first recording of where he goes, and the idea of worship was to bow down. Mm-hmm. They knelt and lift hands in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. He is putting God first because he knows God is on the scene. He knows the Spirit of God is leading him, and you're beginning to see his relationship first and foremost with the Lord. And that is what God is doing with us. And he's going to use your trials to get you to worship him first above how you feel, what you're going through, what the circumstances look like, what the devil's saying. You know it. You've gone through it. He's going to get you to worship him. Because by worshipping him, you are acknowledging that you are walking by faith. It's an acknowledgement to the powers of darkness. You are not going to bow down to Satan. You are bowing down to God. And it puts them to flight. They hate worship. That's why Satan hates us worshipping Almighty God. Because he wants us to bow down and worship him. And we're told that he is the God of this world, blinding the eyes of most until the Lord Jesus comes. And so we see in verse 6, so Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and the lamb and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. Did you know that Abraham had two sons? We've already spoken about it. But only Isaac is mentioned here. We don't know where Ishmael is, because Isaac is of the promise. He's the future generation. He is the royal line that is going to be for Messiah to come. You see? And Abraham has certain insight to all of this. He knows he's the promise. He knows that God has given this promise. He's not questioning. He's doing exactly as the Spirit leads. And this is amazing. It has to be God. So Abraham was to learn that Yahweh wasn't like any other pagan gods who practiced human sacrifice. And we know that certainly the Canaanites did. God is going to teach Abraham that he isn't a God who looks for human sacrifice for blood. And he's teaching him something because Abraham lives in a pagan world. Pagan rituals. Doesn't it sound similar today? We live in a heathen society. This country isn't Christian. They like to think it is. It isn't. They're heathen. They're pagan. We know that. We've only got to go outside. We've only got to go to the town. We see it all around us. So it's no different for Abraham. Now we get comfort here. What God is about to ask of Abraham, God will never ask of you. He'll never ask this of you or me, because we know what this is actually pointing to. It's God who will provide, who will give up his only son, Jesus, the greatest gift given to the world. So God will never require this of you or me. We see a likeness, a type, but he will never require this. You see, it seemed God commanded Abraham to kill the very promise God had made him. That's what's in question. That's what's going on. And don't tell me that Abraham didn't think that, because he must have. He was human. We know the same with Jesus. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross, but he knew he had to obey his Father. And God had promised. This is his promise. This is his son. You know? And he's not questioning any of this. And we know in the trials of faith, we're not to think it strange, as 2 Peter tells us. And yet sometimes we do. I cannot understand this trial. It doesn't make any sense. I can't understand why I'm going through this. And that's the nature of our trials. But we are coming to a place, aren't we, brothers and sisters, where we're not thinking it strange anymore. Because this is the offering. This is what you're giving back to God. And God is right in that trial that you're going through. And he's going to show you that he will provide. Amen, amen. He's the God and Father who provides in all of these tests and trials that we go through. And we go through some. We really do. Some are going through trials. Some who are in the room are going through trials. But the God of provision is there in that whole situation. And you cannot get your mind into it. And so this is why we get the first indication of worship here in the Old Covenant, in Genesis. Because we get the idea, as you read it in the Hebrew, he bows down to worship God. In other words, he's humbling himself in the presence of Almighty God. He's emptying himself. He's acknowledging, I know nothing unless God provides, unless God shows me. But I will bow down and I will worship. And that's what he calls us to do. Not to question it, just do it. And you will see how God raises us up in the power and might of his strength, which he does. You see, Abraham had to go and worship first. What was happening there? It was from the head to the heart. Jesus had to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. It was a worship again. He was going into prayer, travail, but it was still a worshiping. Being in the presence of God, what was God doing? Getting it from his head to his heart so that he could go to that cross in complete obedience and yielding. I'm talking now of the flesh, the human side. We know that Jesus was also divine, but he had a human side. Abraham had a human side. And something is happening. He doesn't know fully, but he knows he's got to obey God in this. And there comes a time in our life when we have to surrender everything we don't understand, but we're going to trust God that he will provide whatever our situation. But it has to come in worship. You won't get it any other way. And it means that humbling, that bowing your knee, surrendering over. I surrender the lot, Lord. I give it over to you. It is completely in your hands. If you wish to remove it out of my life, so be it. I follow you. Now, how God works that is a miracle. Mm-hmm. And he's ever working that in your life and my life for that sacrifice, that offering up, that giving up. And of course, we know no greater sacrifice and offering and giving up than we're told in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice unto God. You cannot offer any more than yourself to God. You can't. You put your life on the altar. And God will do the rest. And he will accept that sacrifice. And in that acceptance, he will be the God who will provide. And under the new covenant, we know his provision. And he says, I will make you whole in mind, body and spirit. And that's why we do not deviate in our preaching and teaching of the word. Because we believe also in divine healing as well. And we have seen it and we will see it. Because he's the God who provides. Is he not? So it was a time of worship, bowing his heart, his being down before God. You see, it wasn't a time of praising and worshipping and getting all excited. That was going to come later, when they come back. You see, and that's why I always follow that principle. When we come together as saints, we come, we praise and worship, because that is that's preparing us for worship. I cannot preach this word till we come in the right way to praise God first. Because part of the anointing, the teaching of the word, comes as you're in the presence of God. Because we have to acknowledge today, he's just using a vessel. This is all he does. But it is a God in our midst, where he says two or three are gathered together. He's speaking to us. He is touching us. If we were to have our eyes open, this place, this room is filled with his ministering spirits and the presence of heaven. And he may well do that. I pray that he opens your eyes. I've had a glimpse years back, and it's utterly awesome. It's awesome. I remember that time when I was recovering from my sickness, and I was sitting over in that area, there was a single chair, and that night, 4 in the morning, when I felt so desperately ill, and the doctor who came to me said, you should really be in hospital, it'd be better that you stay out if you can, and you know the story. And at 4 in the morning, when I was at my lowest, and I thought the Lord was going to take me home, there stood this angel. And I couldn't see the room anymore. The volume of the room had disappeared. This mighty angel that stood with a gold band around there, he was enormous. He must have stood 20 odd feet, if not more. And my eyes were open to that. My eyes were open. And I remember touching myself, pinching. I said, am I going? Is this real? And I remember doing it, and the next thing I know is, from his hand, something threw out. It was like gold glitter, and I tried to stop, but it was too late. It went all over me, and it penetrated, and he'd gone. But a few weeks later, I was raised up, and then I saw that was purification. That was the time in my life when God purified me. In a way that I'd never experienced before. I had a massive deliverance through that. Now, God works in all different ways. I'm simply telling you this, how God can work. You don't know whether you're in the flesh or out of the flesh. You don't know where you are. All you know is you're before a divine object, you know, a being. But I knew he wasn't Jesus. I knew he, obviously, you know, and I knew not to bow down and worship him. I knew that. I knew he was a messenger, had come for a reason. Praise God. But boy, the purging, the purification after that experience, that was real. That was real. And that was the turning point, and then I started to recover. See, God works in many, many ways. I suppose God sometimes has to use a vessel who preaches the word to help you that these things are real. That's all it's for, but it doesn't make me any better, any more spiritual or whatever it is, because you guys, you will experience the same and more. I am the least of all of you. Believe me, I really am. But that is how God works. And so Abraham is a man of worship, and he comes back and he can now fulfill the will, the plan of God. And this is why I come on so strong that we come together, and it is so important to worship God. Even if it's a sacrifice of praise, if you don't even feel like it, you worship him. Because worshipping him, that sacrifice of praise and worship, opens your life to the God and Father who provides. And you will see that provision, it just comes in the ways that he knows. And he knows those things that give us pleasure and delight. What gives you pleasure may be different from somebody else, but he knows. That's why we delight ourselves in the Lord. And praise God, he does do that. We're all different. Thank the Lord we are. Absolutely. See, he didn't know at that point that God would provide, but he's worshipped God and he's coming back. He also knew that Isaac was a blessing from the Lord. And he also had insight enough to know that God would provide. We know that because they asked for the lamb. So what do we glean from that? We glean the fact that he is standing on the promises of God. He has had promises. And this is why we make so much to you about these promises in the Word of God that we look to, we read, we meditate upon, and so forth. What does it say in Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19? The faith of the patriarchs, it says here, Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. You see, the raising of the dead could only be with God and Jesus. It can't be with anyone else, you see. And by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come, and so on. So here the Apostle Paul speaks of this. So back in verse 6, which we're looking at, Abraham took wood, the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. Abraham is doing this himself. Now, if we were doing this, if he hadn't worshipped God beforehand, do you know what unbelief would have done? And we would do exactly the same. God asked us to do this. You'd probably forget the knife and do it deliberately. I'm not taking that knife with me. No way. But no, face acting. He's taking the knife with him. They both went together in agreement, which is the other thing that you glean in this. Now, Isaac could say, I don't think I like this. It's all right for you. I'm the sacrifice. You're the one. You know, nothing. They're going in agreement. Because he loves his father. He has respect for his father. And then we come to verse 7. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? So they're looking. Faith is speaking. There's a lamb involved. Now Abraham knew God would provide. He would provide a sacrifice. But where? Where was the lamb? And this question had been asked right through the Old Testament, from Moses, David, Isaiah, right up to John the Baptist. Where is this lamb of provision? And we know this, John, I'll read it to you quickly, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, John chapter 1 and verse 29. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 25. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." God would provide. And look how many centuries through, all the saints walked by faith, seeing the Lamb from a distance, afar off, that God would one day provide. And in that provision, that means that you and I are here today in worship and praise through that provision. And they saw that provision through the centuries afar off by faith. That was their pressing in under the old covenant, that belief that God would provide. And we go back to Genesis 22, verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood on the in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Isaac submits to his father, and he's showing he's also a man of faith as well, because he sees how his father walks before God. And that is why your testimony, your faith walk, affects more people than you actually realize. God doesn't show us that, but your faith, your standing, your holding fast, when people are always trusting in the arm of the flesh, it is so powerful in the sight of Almighty God and how he uses it. That is our light shining in this world of darkness. That is the church's testimony, you see. And so he's in faith, believing. And so we see Isaac's faith, Abraham's faith. We see this love between the two, the father and son. And let's remember that Isaac was around 25, 30 years of age here. That's going on. And he binds him up. And he puts him on the altar. This man, way, way over 100 years old, building and doing all of this, still a man of strength. This is why I say, you confess the Lord renews your youth like the eagles. And he will, and he does. Because at times we all think, well, I'm getting too old for this. I don't think I'm going to see the rapture. You know, it's going to be the next generation or whatever it is. God's doing a supernatural thing. Don't think like that. The rapture could be any time, brothers and sisters. Be ready. Look up as your redemption's drawing near. Because he's the God and Father who provides. Now, Abraham was willing to go through this. We know this because let's look at verses 10 to 11. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He was going to do it. Where's this lamb? Well, if I slay him, God will resurrect him. He's not questioning. He's going to do exactly what God's saying. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad." Abraham was willing to go through this. You see, sometimes God wants to see if we will do what he asks, even though it doesn't actually happen. And if you've not been through that, you will. You will. Because everything looks as though that is what is going to happen, that is what God wants. But sometimes he tests us to the point of also with a knife in your hand, ready to slay. And he does this. But it doesn't actually happen. And you know why it doesn't happen? Because God is going to provide. That's why it doesn't happen. You see, Abraham revealed his heart towards God, didn't he? And God now displays his heart towards him. And it's wonderful in your Christian walk when God reveals and displays and opens your heart in obedience, he's going to open his heart to you and the two come and agree and meet. And that is what is life-changing. That is what just completely changes us. Inside out, upside down. When he opens his heart and he reveals. And this is why I said there are times in your life when you can feel your Father's pleasure in you. And it often comes through obedience to sacrifice. Doing what he asks, requires of you. And so we know that God gave his only begotten Son, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Here's the provision of God again. And in verse 13, as we bring this to a close, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there, behold, him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horn. And so Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. God provided right there. Because he still required sacrifice. Sacrifice still had to be done. But instead of Isaac, it was going to be that ram instead. You see? And so our walk of faith in nature is sacrificial. And this is why a lot of faith and prosperity that is taught today doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work, and it just builds up the people, it just fills a lot of seats, a lot of pews in churches. And the reason that it doesn't really work, because the nature of faith is not taught in a sacrificial way. It costs you everything. But they want a broad way, an easy way to get in. There is no easy way. I tell you, if there was, I'd be preaching it to you, loud and clear from the housetops, but it's not. And stories like this tell me, you see. It is sacrificial in nature. Faith can hurt sometimes. Faith will get you to cry sometimes. Faith will get you to be upset. Faith sometimes, you'll fall out with God. That's awful. I mean, I did once. And how God dealt with it and brought me back, it just broke me. That I was angry with God, of all people, because I couldn't get my own way. But that's the God who provides. And we go through these experiences. That's the human side of us. But praise him, he doesn't give up on us. His love is so everlasting. From generation to generation. Changes not, you know? So here we see the substitute. God provides this substitute. And the same, of course, through Jesus Christ. That Mount Moriah was pointing to the future of God's provision. His Messiah. His son. And that is why Jerusalem today, and why we pray for Jerusalem, for the peace of Jerusalem, because on this Mount Moriah, it still points to the future of the glory of God. when you look to Jerusalem, that is God's mind working out salvation for the world. And never forget that. And you and I are grafted into the vine because Israel rejected their Messiah. And God said, I will turn to the Gentiles. My people have forsaken me, but I'll turn to you. And anyone who believes can come in. And then in the end, he will turn back to his people. Because they are the true chosen from the old covenant.
Amen.
You and I are adopted, grafted in. Look at God's wonderful plan of provision.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it wonderful? Only God can work that out. These are the mysteries, the wonders of our God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The God who provides.
Praise
Heavenly
the Lord.
Father, we thank you how you have encouraged us today, built us up in the faith. Lord, we know that that work you've begun, you will complete and you will finish. We know, Father, that whatever we're facing, whatever we're going through, your provision will be there. You never forsake us. You don't leave us. And we're all of us, Father, having a wonderful testimony that we can share for your glory, how you have brought us through, how you have been faithful, and you've been there all the time. Lord, we just want to praise and thank you for this. And Lord, as we start to prepare our hearts for communion, Lord, may we be mindful of that sacrifice, what it took you to give up yourself, to be handed over to man, to be crucified. Lord, as you hung on that cross, you saw each one of us, Father. We will have always been in your heart, in your mind, Lord. And we just want to thank and praise you for that.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, I thank you for our brothers and sisters who have come into the room today. Be with them. Ever bless, preserve and keep them in the faith. Father, be with them when they go out and when they come in. Be with their confession, their faith, their belief. Lord, never let them take a substitute, but always the very best that you give us, Lord. For this we ask, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Rejoicing the heart.